Hello and good morning to Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebarb. I am Pastor Zach, and today we are continuing in our study of Genesis. We are in Genesis chapter 5 today, which is a relatively short chapter, which kind of works out since this is the week before Christmas. Give you something small to look over, consider. But there are some very important theological points that are made from Genesis chapter 5. Some of these being, we're going to discuss the timeline of Earth, and how, you know, kind of how the ages of all these men are in comparison with history and things of this nature. We're also going to look at some important things about the character of these men. There's one very specifically that we're going to look at by the name, of course, of Enoch, one who walked with God and was then taken by God. He didn't die. He was taken to heaven. But what we have here in Genesis chapter 5 is this is essentially the genealogy of Adam into the genealogy, of course, of Seth and on down to Noah, which, you know, sets us up, of course, for Genesis chapter 6, Noah's Ark, and these kinds of things. But there are a couple, even though it's a short chapter, a couple of very interesting things that we can glean from chapter 5. So, let's get started. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them. And he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." So, right off the bat, we kind of get this summarization, right? Because we've seen this discussion of, okay, yeah, we know God created the heavens and the earth. We know that God made man and female. He made Adam, okay? And then we even know from last week's chapter, of course, that there is this son, Seth, who is born. But what we're getting here is that we see, so Adam lived for a total of 930 years. At the age of 130, Adam has Seth, the good son, the son that we say, you know, finally we see that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we see that he lived for 930 years total. Now, when we start getting into this genealogy thing, there's a lot of questions that come to, that really come to people's minds. Some people don't believe that this genealogy is consecutive, meaning that they think there are a lot of people that are skipped or looked over, you know, that we're missing some generations of people from Adam. Some people obviously have a problem with the fact that Adam lived for 930 years. Some of them believe then that they weren't referring to years, but rather they counted months instead of years for age back in this day and time, and that this is just a translation error. And a lot of the reason for these discussions, of course, goes all the way back to chapter 1, where I told you that we have some people that think they're so smart about the Word of God that they fool themselves and begin to think that, oh, well, there's this old age theory, or there's the gap theory, or there's these things that come into light. And what we're essentially doing with all of those theories and thought processes is we're trying to take what modern science says they know about God's creation and make the Bible fit science's mold. And I got news for you. The Word of God is the authority on all things. Man's ideas and theories and thought processes are not the authority. So it's quite the opposite. Science should fit within the realm of the Bible. If it doesn't fit within the realm of the Bible, then it's not true, it's not real, and it didn't exist. So when we're looking at this whole basis here of what's going on, this is indeed a complete genealogy. we have to think about that in this time, even though we have sin that's come about on the world, we do not have the full effects of sin that we have today. After the flood, everybody's lifespan is remarkably limited. Some of them only living as far as 130, 140 years and then dying, and that just continues to go down as time goes on. Secondly, in this moment before the flood, we have a perfect atmosphere still. We have a relatively, while still corrupt, but much more closely perfected creation, because man hasn't had as long to infiltrate it and to further corrupt it beyond what it already has been by our decision. So these genealogies are definitely consecutive. It is more than likely 110% accurate. And if we actually do the math from the time that, quote unquote, from what we call the creation timeline to what we know as the known timeline. Remember, I told you there is an indefinite amount of time that passes before the fall of mankind. It could have been thousands of years before any of that took place. There was no time. There was no need for a record of time. Everything was eternal. And so what we have going on here is, if we do the math, following this genealogy to present time, what we see is that the earth is relatively in the ballpark of about 6,000 to 7,000 years old. Okay, depending on who you're talking to, some say 5 to 6, some say 6 to 7, doesn't matter. The point is that, of course, this raises questions because science tells you that the earth is millions and billions of years old. Well, I have an answer for that, okay? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? There's a timeless question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Because you have to have something that's already old, that's already aged, that's already mature, that can produce another piece of itself. An egg cannot make a chicken, but rather a chicken can make an egg, which can then turn into another chicken with the help of said chicken, okay? So it makes complete and total sense that God would have created the earth with age and maturity already built in. He did that with Adam and Eve. It only makes sense he would do that with the earth as well. So yes, it may appear to science that the earth is 7 billion years old, but that's probably the amount of age that needed to be done to the earth for the earth to be able to sustain life. And God already knew that, and God programmed it that way. So when we're looking at these genealogies, yes, they are consecutive. Yes, the years are real. Yes, the amount of times these men is indeed real. By the time that Lamech dies at the end of this, the father of Noah, Noah would have been born not 14 years after Seth died. So these men would have seen, if we did the math on the potential of how many kids could have come from all of these men throughout time, there's a very good likelihood that Adam himself saw a million of his own descendants before he died. And that there's even a better likelihood that there could have been 4 to 5 billion million people on the earth by the time we get to Noah. So there's a lot of things here, and this is something you need to understand and grab a hold of. Because when you start digging into, well, how did we advance so quickly? How did we do this? Well, guys, they lived for 930 years. I've only lived for 24 years, and 24 years I have learned a multitude of skills that I have been able to put into practice and am still learning. That's at 24. How much more so if you live for 930 years can you learn, accomplish, and figure out in that amount of time? So all of this is 110%. It's true. It's consecutive. And it is not in any way, shape, or form blown out of proportion or mistranslated. So we already, off the bat, we know that Adam lives for 930 years and then he dies. Then beginning in verse 6 says, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos, or Enos. Whichever one you want to say is fine. Doesn't matter. Doesn't bother Brother Zach either way. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. Mahalalel. All right? So you say that with me. Mahalalel. That's a hard one, isn't it? And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch, whichever you want to say is fine. Doesn't matter to me. I've heard people say it both ways. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So there's a common theme that we're already seeing through this, right? We see here's this son, he lived for this long, had his first kid, you know, the first son that is part of this genealogy that we're breaking down through, which really this was referred to as the Christian line of Adam, the righteous line of Adam, okay? Meaning that all of the men that this is going through are men that were good followers of God, that did what they were supposed to do, trained their kids the right way, this kind of thing, okay? Because eventually we get to, of course, Noah, who is the only guy that finds grace in the eyes of the Lord in the entire world, when God literally wants to kill everybody in the world and just start over with, okay? But something that you should have already noticed is we have this one begat this one at this age, and after he begat him, he lived X amount of years, and he what? Died. This one begat this one, and he lived X amount of years before he begat this one, and then he lived X amount of years after he begat this one, and he died. And he died. And he died. There's a very big reason as to why this author continues to reiterate he died, he died, he died, he died throughout this genealogy. Think about this. When we look at Cain, what did they believe Cain was going to do? They thought Cain was the Messiah, the promised one, right? They thought Cain was going to be the dude that fixed all of this problem, that he was the one that God had spoken of as being the seed of woman who would fix all of this. So here we have this constant reminder to mankind. He's a great guy, but guess what? He's dead. He's a great guy, but guess what? He's dead. He's a great guy, but guess what? He's dead. Meaning that there was not a single man born. As we're moving further and further away from when sin entered into the world, that was this Messiah God had promised. Guys, I can only imagine the feelings of these people as they're, oh, well, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the one. And then they see man after man, even though they're good men of God, die, die, die. Friends, what we have, what the realities of our decision of falling into sin, the reality of what we decided we wanted to do as a group and disobeying God. And if you're on there going, oh, I wouldn't have, yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would have. And disobeying God, this is what we brought to the world. These men that they're here, and they're trying to do right, and they're trying to serve God, and they're doing everything that they can, and they think, any day now that Messiah's coming. Any day now that Messiah's coming. Any day that Messiah's coming, and then dead, 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 dead. And even with Enoch, we see here that he's a special case, isn't he? He only lives for 365 years, and why is that? It says because God took him, right? There's an awesome lesson taught here. Okay, first of all, Enoch was obviously an amazing man that God literally came down to earth and said, you know what? You're just going to come back with me. You're just going to come home with me. Because Enoch, that idea that he walked with God is that he had this special, intimate relationship with God. He had faith in God. He believed in God. He trusted in God. We know from texts that are mentioned in Hebrews and other parts of the New Testament that he was a prophet, that he knew that Christ was going to be coming. He knew that there was going to be a judgment day. He knew a lot of these things that had been revealed to him by God. That's how intimate his relationship was. We know that he had great faith from Hebrews. Guys, Enoch was this man. He's this amazing guy, but despite all of those things, and even despite the fact God took him home instead of letting him die, he still was not the what? The one. I could only imagine how great-grandpa Seth and Mahalalel and all of these guys that are still alive when Enoch is around, who realize that, hey, he's getting called home to God. I could only imagine that they're like, finally, this is the guy, but he wasn't, was he? Friends, one of the biggest things we learn from chapter 5 is, number one, the wages of sin is always death. These people were already looking forward to what the Jews had to look forward to later on. And they had that one of the people that were living, some of the ones that were living, had walked with God. Literally, walked with God. I can only imagine them sitting there waiting, going, any day now, that Messiah's coming, any day now. Every time one of these men was born, even with Enoch, who's lived this great life that he walks so closely with God, he's a prophet of God, I can only imagine them, any day now, oh, well, maybe he's the one, maybe he's the one. But over and over and over again, we see they died. One's taken home by God, which is just a testament to him. Obviously, he still was not the Messiah to be. It's amazing to think about that these people lived for so long. They knew so much. They were around people that directly knew of God and had walked with God. And out of all of these lists of great men, there's always this constant reminder via death that sin has entered into the world, that you've fallen, that there is a rip, a problem in the relationship. But even despite that, we see this guy like Enoch, who's after 300 years of walking with God, God just takes him. He doesn't even have to die. Can you imagine having a relationship with God so well that you do not even experience physical death? You're called home to God. That doesn't happen very much in the Bible. That happened with him. That happened, of course, with Elijah. There's not very many instances of where this plays out and takes part in the lives of mankind. But Enoch lived such a faith-filled life that God called him home. But even after that, look at what happens. It says, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So as we're going through this, we see this relationship, of course, with the fact that there's this one died, you know, It's kind of a sad reminder of the reality of existence, of the reality of the decisions that we made. But then we see Enoch, who is this man of great faith. He walks with God so closely that God calls him home. But there's also another gem here. He has a son named Methuselah. And what's very interesting about this is that the name Methuselah means when he has died, destruction will come. Okay, it's kind of a loose translation of what that means. Some would literally translate the name of Methuselah to mean when he is dead, it shall come. Okay, meaning that even as Enoch is walking with God, growing this intimate relationship with God, God gives him Methuselah and grants Methuselah with such a long amount of life for the sake of humanity to get their act together. That is his gift to Enoch on top of the fact that he's called home because Methuselah lives for 969 years. That is a long, long time. And it's after he dies that the flood, the beginnings of the flood and building the ark, all this stuff, starts to come into play. So already, through this line of relatively great men for God, we see that sin still affects even the good men of God, that none of them are the one that was promised. Even Enoch, even though he didn't physically die and was called to heaven, still not the one, not the one. But through this line, God's already blessing the world, not only with men that are serving him and doing what they're supposed to be doing, but also with time for men and mankind as a whole to get their act together, and then has already provided them with someone who can what? Help save them. What is Noah going to do? Noah's going to be the one guy that serves God well enough, has enough faith in God to live the life he's supposed to live, and is the only human being on the planet that finds favor with God and is the result of the reason why you and I are even here today. Even in this time where these men are looking for God to help, to take care, to bring their Messiah into being, God is still giving to mankind over and over and over and over again a way of deliverance, an opportunity to be saved, an opportunity to get things right, to get things fixed. And here we see that Methuselah, of course, has Lamech, and Lamech has Noah, and he names him Noah, and he says, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Meaning that Noah would bring a comfort to their life filled with toil. Already before any of this comes to pass, that Noah knows there's going to be a flood and all of these things, everyone already has a sense that Noah has a great purpose, okay? And that possibly could have been revealed to them by Enoch of what was going to happen, what Noah was going to do, why Methuselah was named when he was named, you know. There may have been some revealing that had gone on there to some degree, but not enough that they understood exactly what was going on, because he comes to Noah and tells Noah to build an ark, and Noah's like, wait a minute. What's a boat and what's rain, right? So when we're looking at this line, I know it's a short chapter, which means this is going to be a short podcast. Makes it great for everybody. When we're looking at this line, there's three things that I want you to take away from this. Number one, this is a literal line. This is a literal progression of mankind's history through the more righteous side of Adam's line, okay? With that, it is also an accurate line of the progression of sin and how it continued and still continues today to lead to physical death in humanity. Secondly, a big thing that I want you to take from this is that we should desire to have relationship with God like these men did. Enoch is a huge example. You want somebody to try to live up to. A man who walked with God so closely, who had so much faith in God, had such a desire to be obedient to God and to serve God, that God does not even give him does not even punish him with physical death. He just takes him home. And finally, I want you to take away from this that even in light of a world filled with people that deserved punishment, that deserve to be removed and to be destroyed completely, God was still providing opportunities for people to be saved, for people to turn back to Him, to make the right decisions, to serve Him, and had already prepared a deliverer for those that would actually listen to the message. I have no doubt in my mind that if people had gone to that ark, listened to Noah, and got on that boat, that it would have been more than just Noah and his family that got off of there. But nobody listened to the message that Noah preached. No one believed. No one turned back to God. No one cared about serving God. These men were but a small group of human beings that were on the planet that served God and did what was right. And through them, God blessed the world with the opportunity at yet another chance at redemption instead of total destruction. Now, it is the Christmas holiday, holiday week. Merry Christmas to you all. I hope all of you have a wonderful time with your families. Remember that this time of year, give you a little bit of a small sermon that's not involved in Genesis. You will be around your family this week. You'll have opportunities to witness and tell people about this God, the God that you just saw here in chapter 5, that's still yet delivering His creation, planning for His creation, revealing Himself to His creation. Even in something as small as this genealogy that we've talked about, you can see the hand of God in a mighty way in this very small chapter. Do not neglect this week to miss the opportunities to witness to your family and friends and to be call them to remember that that baby in a manger grew into a man that died to pay for their sins. I hope all of you have an excellent week. Make sure to go back, look over all of Genesis, go back and look at these numbers. You can even play the math game for yourself if you want to do the timeline. You'd be very interested to see how the timeline works out. But as always, this has been Pastor Zach with Studies Through the Bible in Genesis chapter 5. All of you, get out of here and go study.